Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is David Halperin, who's a senior fellow at Republic Report. He was previously founding director of the Campus Progress and senior vice president at the Center for American Progress, senior policy advisor for Howard Dean's presidential campaign, founding executive director of the American Constitution Society, White House speechwriter and special assistant for national security affairs to President Clinton, and counsel to the Senate Intelligence Committee. He has an article at Republic Report and the Huffington Post. Bezos' purchase of the Post leaves Graham with Kaplan For-Profit College. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Halperin.
Thanks, Ian. How are you?
Well, I'm actually just having gotten through with this conversation with Robert McChesney. I'm sort of devastated because it makes me think that, you know, there is no journalistic standard in this country. There's no reason for the Wall Street the New York Times to be set the journalistic standard. It's just a pure accident that you have, you know, enlightened families and that are in control of these big newspapers. You don't have a BBC that's insulated from the government that sets a journalistic standard. So, I mean, am I right in thinking that there really is nothing to stop billionaires from turning the entire media into their personal playthings if they can pay the price?
Not much. I mean, these things are privately or owned or publicly traded businesses, and businesses need to make money. And there is sort of shame, and there's public pressure, and there are enterprising people of goodwill who sometimes take over one of these things and try to keep it on the side of honesty and good and holding people accountable. And I'm just kind of hoping that that's what will be the case this time with Bezos and Amazon. But there are a lot of things about Bezos' conduct as a business person and his political views that suggest it might not be the case. But, of course, that's not what I'm on to talk with you.
No, it's not. But I just wanted to, you know, have you catch up with my, you know, how I'm sort of rattled here from the last conversation, because it, you know, there isn't any public pressure or public control or influence over the media, as there is in other democracies. As you well know, the BBC in England and most of the other advanced democracies at least have a strong public space in the media that sets a standard, and therefore the commercial people have to at least follow that or meet that.
True. But I would say the good news is, of course, the internet, and that I believe that a good story can be produced on the cheap by a couple of people or one person. And with the internet, a good story can often rise to the top. There's all kinds of ways that now money can influence what rises to the top. But real news still catches on. Real news and, of course, naked people. Those things can rise to the top. And so there's still a chance, even in a world where you're wary of government controlling the media and you're wary of big companies controlling the media, that true journalism, enterprising journalism, and real news can reach the public.
Well, it'd be also nice if the profession, within the profession, people who do this for a living got paid.
True. And there are ways to get paid. I mean, I do journalism. I do public policy advocacy, but I do write and report on stories on issues that I care about, where I am treated. You know, people can give me interviews. I'm paid by a number of nonprofit organizations and foundations to do this work. I don't make a huge amount of money, but I'm able to have some influence on a few of the issues that I work on, and that is free of corporate and government control.
Well, David, let's get to what we wanted to talk about and your article at both Republic Report and the Huffington Post. Bezos' purchase of the Post leaves Graham with the Kaplan For-Profit College. We've talked a lot about this racket, these for-profit colleges, which entirely operate off federal money, off taxpayers' money, which they mark up absolutely egregiously, scandalously to these students, many of whom are on the GI Bill now, the new GI Bill, and they send them these diploma mills every day now on TV. You see new diploma mills propping up, spending all this money, which again is taxpayer money, on advertising themselves. And they get these students in. They get them hooked on massive debts, which, of course, again, they're marking up public money into and just turning it into private profit. And at the end of the day, these students end up with worthless diplomas and onerous, crippling debt. And the Kaplan, which is the financial engine behind the Washington Post company, what's the dropout rate there? 70% of the
70%, one of the highest.
They don't even get their diplomas, and getting the diploma is kind of
bad on paying back their loans. Now, I think a lot of this is an important story because people think of Don Graham as a ethical person, and it was that status, and also as a powerful person, the head of the Washington Post, that helped that made it possible for him to be very effective as essentially the most influential lobbyist in Washington on preventing reforms that would hold these for-profit colleges accountable. He went around and met with members of the Obama administration, with members of Congress, with leaders of think tanks like the Center for American Progress, where I work, and he said, gee, Kaplan is trying to do the right thing. We're educating low-income people. Well, they were not educating low-income people most of the time. They were just taking their money, taking the taxpayer money, taking the students' money, leaving them in debt, and leaving them either to drop out or get a degree that was worthless. A couple of times, in cases, it turned out the degree was almost literally worthless. The students were told it would train them for a particular career, and then it turned out not to be true. Or the Kaplan Online Concord Law School, where many students didn't realize that it was an unaccredited law school and that they couldn't even take the bar exam of 49 out of the 50 states. They could take it in as year as California. But in any case, Don Graham went around and said, don't do this, don't penalize our for-profit colleges, because we're doing a wonderful job. And people believed him because he was Don Graham, the powerful and respected leader of the Washington Post. Kaplan is a bad school, and the rule also would have affected a lot of other bad schools had it been strong enough. Now, a rule did pass, but it got watered down. And I can tell you from talking with people in the administration that Don Graham was a key player in watering the rule down. And in that sense, I think that he did something that was very bad for the country, and something that makes it kind of fitting in a way that what he's left with now is a company that formerly got 55% of its revenues from the Kaplan Education Division. Now it's going to be more like 2/3 of its revenues with the things that Bezos bought. So he basically is the head of Kaplan, and the Post even calls itself now an education and media company. They even called it that before this sale. They lead with their education because that's where the money has been coming from. And, it's nice that it subsidized the Washington Post newspaper to some extent, but the truth is it would have been better to just have a direct taxpayer subsidy to the Post than have the money go to Kaplan, because in the process, as you suggested and explained so eloquently, it ruined the lives of so many students and still does.
So in an ironic way, then, David Halpern, this is a cleansing moment. I mean, in other words, as you point out in your article, the last line of the article is that for the Post newspaper, many remaining talented journalists, however, it is an opportunity to begin anew without the burden of an enormous rotten core.
I think that's fair, and I talked to a number of Post reporters at the time who were embarrassed. They were embarrassed that the Post wouldn't really write about the for-profit colleges in a tough way, editorialized in favor of not having any accountability for predatory for-profit colleges. And it gets worse than that. The previous CEO of Kaplan got a $76 million compensation package when he resigned in 2008. In 2012, a congressman wanted to ask the for-profit college heads how much money they make. And the Post refused to tell them how much the head of Kaplan made because they didn't have to disclose that to the Securities Exchange Commission because Kaplan is a subsidiary of the Post. So they refused. So although the Post is always holding people accountable, people who suck off the government dole, they wouldn't tell how much their person, whose company was making 90% of their money from taxpayers, they wouldn't tell how much that person, the CEO of Kaplan, earned. So that's one thing. Another thing is that through their adventure owning a for-profit college, the Washington Post, through Kaplan, was a member of the notorious American Legislative Exchange Council, the group responsible for voter ID laws that make it harder for individuals, low-income people, people of color, elderly people, young people to vote, and also the Stand Your Ground law that made it easier for George Zimmerman to walk away from shooting Trayvon Martin. Those are both things heavily lobbied for by ALEC, which the Washington Post supported with its money and its prestige by making Kaplan a member of it. The Post never disclosed that. I disclosed that. I found it out and reported it, and the Post then confirmed it to me. But in all their coverage of Alec and Trayvon Martin and all these things, they didn't mention that they had, until 2011, the end of 2011, I believe, were a member of Alec. So he brought the Post into a lot of dirty business, I think, through, and when I talked to the Post ombudsman about this, I said, why aren't you talking about this? You're supposed to be keeping the paper honest and talking to readers about their concerns. He said, I plan to write about this. And then he never did. He left, and the Post abolished the position of ombudsman. So I think the ownership of an industry that was inherently corrupt and incompetent, well, competent at making money, incompetent at educating students, and often involved in deceptive recruiting of students, through all that, he really led the Post into a major misadventure that I think tarnished the legacy of the paper and of the Graham family owning it. So I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. I know you've mentioned that you knew him in Vietnam. He was a soldier. He didn't need to go there. His family could have kept him out. He was a police officer in Washington, D.C. He's beloved by people in his newsroom. But this particular misadventure is something for which taxpayers and students and people who care about the economy in this country and honesty in this country ought not to forgive him. He ought to be held accountable for it.
And just to remind people of the basis of Kaplan's money, which is 55% of the revenues of the Washington Post company, the basis of its money is your money, taxpayer money. When you say that the former CEO of Kaplan received $76 million in a compensation package and a golden parachute,
yes,
that's taxpayer money.
90% of it is. Now, Kaplan also includes the test prep, which allows wealthier kids to get better prepared for tests than poorer kids because they can pay for the Kaplan test prep. Now, but at least that is more of a legitimate business. It's also true that often test prep doesn't help particularly. That's the Stanley Kaplan business that a lot of people listening will remember growing up was available to them to take a test. That seems more legitimate to me. The Kaplan for-profit college, I'm sure there's some people who've had a good experience there, but as you said, 70% dropout rate, and most of the money is from our taxpayers. But when President Obama said, what we'd like to do is make it so that schools that are systematically failing students, failing them in the sense of not educating them, making them deep in debt, unable to pay back their loans, it was Bob Graham who went around and lobbied and said, we think an onerous rule like this will hurt us and hurt us in our efforts to educate young people. But again, as I've argued directly with the head of the For-Profit College Association, admitting students is not the same as educating them. Taking their money and depositing their checks is easy to do. It's helping them train for careers.
We're sorry to interrupt you, David, but we've run out of time, and I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian, for having me.
Again, I'm speaking with David Halpern, a senior fellow at Republic Report. He was previously founding director of Campus Progress and senior vice president at the Center for American Progress, senior policy advisor to Howard Dean's presidential campaign, founding executive director of the American Constitution Society, White House speechwriter and special assistant for national security affairs to President Clinton and counsel to the Senate Intelligence Committee. He also has an article at Republican Report and the Huffington Post, Bezos' purchase of the Post leaves Graham with Kaplan for-profit college. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Claire Goldsmith. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another background briefing. Bye for now. The headline reads